we're going to welcome Paul and Sarah to come up to the front now, and we're going to hand over to you for the next part of our service. And we look forward with expectancy and excitement, and maybe a challenge. So looking forward to what we have to say.
When was the last time that we were actually here? And it was actually 2018. So 5 years ago, obviously we had COVID in between, but literally 5 years ago. So it's actually been quite a while ago since we've been here, and we're trying to kind of remember some faces. Remember a few, remember Diane's, remember Amy's face here, but literally just a few faces that we remember, and some of you may remember us as well. But we wanted to obviously share what we've been doing in Thailand like during that time. And so we are Paul and Sarah Brown. We are serving in Thailand, and we've been there now, actually, as of the end of this month. It will be 11 years since we've been serving there. So we've been there with BMS for 11 years, so BMS World Mission. The time has gone very, very quickly. When we look back and think of how God has actually worked with us and also the people that we've been serving in that time, it's been absolutely amazing. But it's just been... it's been a whirlwind.
So for those of you who don't know, we started off life in Thailand in Bangkok. We were there for almost about seven years. And we worked with an organisation called Nightlight International, working with women and children caught up in the sex industry. After that, we moved to Chiang Mai, which is in the north of Thailand. And we worked with an organisation called the New Life Centre, who worked with tribal ladies, and that was offering scholarships, etc., and looking at protection for those guys from at risk from trafficking, etc. And then after that, we'll come on to that. So if you were to travel from Bangkok to Chiang Mai, it would take you about 8 hours. If you're in a bus, it might take you up to 11 hours,
So we've got a short video to show you, which kind of like recaps all of that time together in Bangkok, and then obviously our move to Chiang Mai, where we started working with New Life Centre Foundation. Technology is always one of those ones that kind of does these things. So we are now working for an organisation called the Thailand Karen Baptist Convention, which works with the Karen, and it's pronounced Karen and not Karen. I know it's clearly on there, it looks like it's spelt like Karen, but it's Karen, so I'll get that out of the way first. or pronounced Kariang, or as the Thais would say, Gariang. And traditionally, the Karen people practice spirit worship alongside Buddhism, alongside with the Thai people as well. Now, they have a prophecy called the Golden Book, which in Skor Karen is called Latuli Se. And it's a prophecy that's been passed down from generation to generation. And it basically involves three brothers and the truth hidden within the pages of this Golden Book, which says there is one God called Yahweh. Now, interesting word, because it sounds very similar to the Hebrew word Yahweh. And it says that the God will literally come to the Karen people through these three brothers, the youngest of the three brothers. And it said through the book that they will know God. Now, it's really, really interesting, because before the gospel actually came to the Karen people, they had poems and legends that were very, very similar to the Old Testament. And this actually may be one of the reasons why the Karen actually have come to know Christ and come to become believers so easily. The Karen also do speculate that they are one of the lost tribes of Israel. However, it's speculation, we're not sure how that is. Not sure if it's true or not.
Okay. So the first American Baptist missionary came to Burma. He discipled the first Karen believer, and his name was Gortai Bayu. Following his conversion, he became a dedicated evangelist among the Karen in Burma. The gospel finally came to Thailand, to the Karen Baptist Convention in 1881. So it's been going a little while from Burma. The first Karen church in Thailand was established in the Chiang Mai region.
So who are the Karen? So this is kind of giving you a bit of a background as to who they are, where they've come from. So the Karen trace their origins from northern China, Mongolia and Tibet. And then the Karen settled in Myanmar, obviously Burma. The Karen have been living in Myanmar and along the Thai-Burma border for many, many centuries. And although the Karen come from within Burma, do not refer to them as Burmese, because they are ethnically very different. Some of the Karen story is very tragic, and over the years as an ethnic minority, they've endured much suffering. The number of Karen has increased into Thailand recently. You probably may have heard about the civil unrest that's happening in Myanmar. So as a result of it, there has been a lot of Karen coming into Thailand along the border. And there are also many Karen that have also moved and integrated in other countries around the world as well. So at the moment, there's about 1 million Karen living within Thailand that have actually come over the border. In terms of Christianity, in Myanmar, there's about 70% Christian, and in Thailand, about 40% are Christian, mostly Baptist. Now, if you compare that to the number of Thais that are Christian, it's less. Number of Thais that are Christian is less than 1%. So it's actually quite a big difference. The other thing I should also add is that within the actual Karen themselves, they've actually got about 12 ethnic minorities as well, so there are subgroups within the Karen as well.
Okay, so this is the Karen flag. They have a flag. They don't have a country, but they do have a flag.
So in terms of the language, see the language, like the Thai language is actually on the left-hand side, and then the Skor Karen is actually on my right-hand side. And there is a big difference. I know some of the churches have actually been sending us email, do they speak the same language as the Thais? It's completely different. And in essence, in northern Thailand, there are different hill tribes, and they all speak different languages. I mean, off the top of my head, I can think of 10 different hill tribe groups, but then probably many, many more. And they all have their own languages. And within the Karen, they also have sub-languages. So the writing that you can see there is actually Skor Karen. So different dialects they have. The elderly majority of them speak little to no Thai, so it's actually quite hard communicating with them. We speak Central Thai. The younger generation speak Thai, so we can communicate with them, and they often use Thai and Karen interchangeably, which can be very hard for us because we can understand Central Thai, but then it kind of drifts off and tails off. At present, we have no plans to learn Karen, but I'm sure along the way we will pick up sentences and words as we go along.
Okay, so the Karen have their own culture and traditions, deeply rooted traditions and customs, and they very much are into nature. Most of them live in small villages in the mountains, generally keep themselves to themselves as far as that's concerned. And some of the villages are remote, quite remote. In fact, they're only accessible via a 4x4 or a motorbike. When we've been up there, we've had some extremely bumpy rides.
Sore heads. Very sore heads, literally hitting the top of the roof of the car. So their homes are generally wooden. There's little furniture inside. They have mats on the floor that you sit on or you also lie on as well. There's minimal electricity. Some homes have no electricity. Bathrooms are outside. And it's literally just the basics inside, such as a table and pots and pans to cook with. So it's actually simple living, you'd call it. Very, very simple lifestyle.
Most of the Karen work the land. The Karen have learned sustainable agriculture, giving them knowledge to protect their environment. What they tend to do as well is when they farm, they'll take an area, farm it for a little while, but then let it rest for a few years before coming back to work in that land again. So they are very environmentally friendly in that regard. As I said, they're farmers, rice farmers mostly, also grow vegetables, and they grow other crops as well as raising animals. And they are, as I said, self-sustainable, so the food they produce keep for themselves, but they also sell it to the rest of the country as well.
So they also have their own traditional dress. And the Karen women actually excel in the art of weaving, and they literally take this as a kind of great pride to pass this skill down to their daughters. And it's something that they kind of take great pride in. And the garment is basically a tunic, so it's like a V-neck tunic and a tube skirt for the women, and it comes in a variety of colours. They did initially have traditional colours, so it was red and black for the women, also red and white for the men, and also white for unmarried women and youngsters as well, like young girls. But over the years, obviously where fashion's come in, they all wear a variety of colours now.
So we want to give you an idea, an overview of the work of BMS and TKBC. They've actually been partnering with TKBC now for over 30 years. Jackie Wells was the first one there that we know of. She was working there for about 20 years with building up the women's department. And then after that we had Pete and Liz Maycock, who works in the Bible school in the evangelism area, and they worked there for about 10 years. So they've had a long-standing relationship. So BMS is supporting the Karen pastors and staff through youth and evangelism, and also teaching them English, and at the moment we will be hopefully teaching them baking skills.
So this is kind of a bit further in depth. The Karen Baptist churches have joined together according to the same faith and Baptist tradition, preserving language, culture, and doing holistic mission to witness for Jesus Christ. So within TKBC, the Thailand Karen Baptist Convention, there are 12 church associations or districts, which consists of 239 churches, which of those, six of those were started just in April, and 274 associated churches, around 44,000 baptized members, and around 21,000 non-baptized. And within TKBC, there's five main departments, which consists of evangelism, youth, women's, and the KDSF, which is the Karen Development Service Foundation. And there's two Bible schools, which is Siloam and Christos.
So we officially started with TKBC in September of 2022. We've had the opportunity to actually go out into the mountains and have conversations and pray, spend time with the Karen people, spending time with them, listening to them, praying for them, and encouraging them. It's been wonderful and quite humbling as well. Their generosity as well is unbelievable. Though they haven't got much, they're always willing to share what little they have with us. Yeah, it's been a real blessing.
And as I said earlier, to the older member of the family, a genuine loving smile and lots of eye contact goes a long way. As I said, they don't speak generally Central Thai and they only speak Karen. So really body language, smile and an eye contact really does go a long way.
These are some of the Karen singing. There's a long-standing comment that all Karen have beautiful singing voices. And we've just got a little snippet of what that sounds like. Hopefully the sound will come through.
TKBC, we started with them very slowly. Obviously, some of you have read our prayer letters. We actually should have started last year, February, and as Paul mentioned, we didn't start there until last year, September. Some of you have may read it in our prayer letters. We ended up having to come back to the UK last year, March to May, because we had visa issues, which has never happened before in almost 10 years of being in Thailand, but the visa process is becoming a bit stricter. So as a result of it, we did have to come back to the UK. However, it did give Paul the opportunity to do a TESOL course, which is teaching English as a second language. So he finished that around about July, August of last year. And then unfortunately, my mum passed away in November last year, and then we came back again in November to December last year. So it was really kind of an up and down year. It was challenging, but I would say that when we look back now, it really did give us the opportunity to kind of spend that extra time with mum when we came back for the visa issues, which we weren't aware of at all. We realised that God kind of has given us the strength to kind of keep going through and persevering. And he's allowed us to kind of keep going. He's been very, very gracious through all of, you know, the midst of all of the challenges that we've gone through.
So I teach at the Bible school and also Siloam Bible School, and also teach some of the staff in the office. Sarah teaches also at Bible school, but she also taught a young lady online, Korean lady online. We've also attended lots of leadership training, travelling to various village locations, meeting with various departments, TKBC and partners of TKBC as well. BMS is a partner, there are other partners as well. It's also hoped that the bakery can be set up within the Minions Ministry. So hopefully people will be able to come from various communities within the Korean communities, come down from the mountains for training. So they're hoping to like set up a bakery in a city somewhere. And then we'll learn basic bakery skills there, and then hopefully they'll be able to open up coffee shops and sell desserts and baked goods, etc. in their local communities. Sarah is translating lots of Thai to English reports, and I've been working on their website as well with the Karen, some of the Karen staff. Some of the English students are here that I've taught. They graduated in March, and it was really great to see them graduate. And the one male in there, he was able to give a mini sermon in English, which was quite good. prior to Sarah teaching the young lady online, she had tried she wants to go to university, but in order to get into university, you have to pass an English exam. And she had tried 2 years in a row and failed. So Sarah was able to spend time with her and really give her encouragement as well, because she seemed to be low on confidence as well. And eventually she got her results just before we left to come to England. She passed her exams. So she is hopefully going to be a doctor. She wants to be a doctor. So she's applied to university, and hopefully she goes and she passes that as well. She'll be the first one in her village to become a doctor. So it's been very good, really pleasing to see results from what you do. So
we just wanted to share a bit about some of the scholarship students. So at TKBC they hand out scholarships as well, but this is actually quite important because a lot of the students and some of the Karen families are stateless, and as a result of being stateless, sometimes they don't have access to education, they don't have access to medical care, and effectively they are nobody in society because they don't exist because they have no status. So we just wanted to share an account of Patradon Udumsuk. This is his account of how he felt before and after he obtained his Thai nationality. So my name is Patradon Tara Udumsuk. I was born in Thailand. I have always felt a connection with Thailand and Thai people. From birth, I have never lived anywhere else, but because my family is stateless, it also meant by default I was stateless. As a family, we do not hold Thai nationality or nationality from any other country. I am ethnic Karen, Pakayo. My parents are from the Karen state of Myanmar and moved to that province when I was born. Most stateless people in northern Thailand are from the Lahu, Akha, Thayai and Karen tribes. Growing up, I had the opportunity to attend school, but the problem was that I did not have a Thai ID card. Therefore, I was unable to provide my identity status to the government whenever it was required. Before obtaining citizenship, I was anxious all the time. I felt this way while studying at elementary school, secondary school, and during my time studying for my bachelor's degree at university. I felt scared every time I saw the police. Even other ethnic people that had received their Thai citizenship were still afraid when they saw the police. Therefore, as a stateless person, I was more fearful. I faced a lot of problems while studying. When I finished high school, I wanted to continue studying in college to study nursing. The guidance counsellor told me that I could not apply for further studies because I did not have Thai citizenship. I used to feel inferior and neglected and wondered why others could have access to everything while I was restricted, even though I was born in Thailand. Everything was complicated. Whatever I did, there was always obstacles. I very clearly remember the day in June 2022 when the district officials called and told me to come and take photographs for my Thai ID card. I had been approved to receive Thai citizenship. I was very happy and smiling as I travelled to the district office. When I was stateless, I constantly felt I was in the dark. There was no clarity. However, after receiving my Thai citizenship, I felt light. Being granted my Thai citizenship, I became a fully fledged Thai national. I felt like I was born again. I was getting a new life, different from being stateless. There was clarity and no obstacles. I now feel comfortable wherever I go. I no longer worry about being called by the police and being asked for my ID documents. Obtaining my Thai citizenship has given me the opportunity of freedom to live life with a weight taken from my chest. I have more opportunities in terms of work and freedom to live my life. I now have the courage to express myself more about my own tribe. I'm currently proudly serving the local community as a coordinator for the Association of Intermountain People's Education and Culture in Thailand in the provinces of Northern Thailand. So you could hear from his account the differences of, you know, the obstacle and the challenges he actually faced before he had his, you know, had his citizenship. And the other thing that's really important here, I mentioned the Karen Development Service Foundation. They obviously provide the students with their scholarship, but they also raise awareness as well, because they're vulnerable. So from trafficking, you know, labour trafficking, sex trafficking, and so that they don't really become prey to exploitation at all.
So here are some of the other scholarship students that received their Thai citizenship last year, and below 11 students that also graduated last year. So with any organisation we go to, it's important to build up relationships, and it's the same with TKBC. However, TKBC is a much bigger organisation than we've worked with before in Thailand. So we've visited so many members of staff and teams and church members, it's quite hard to keep remember everybody's names, etc. And it's only been over 6 to 8 months since we've been there. Yeah, it's been hard to keep track of everything at TKBC, what's going on, because there's lots of different divisions there as well. So we're still learning about TKBC.
And we are also thankful for long-term friendships that we have. Again, some of you may have read some information about the friendships that we've built over the years, and one of them in particular is Ajahn Yulabai, who we actually met in 2011 before we went out to Thailand, and then we actually met her when we got to Thailand in 2012. So you can probably see from the picture, dated 2012, and then when we kind of literally made contact again when we moved to Chiang Mai, in 2021. And she worked closely with Jackie Wells to establish the women's ministry. And it's been really good to kind of see the difference in terms of how she's grown, and now she's now encouraging and ministering to others. So we now, obviously being in Chiang Mai, we get to see her more regularly. And also as a result of it, we also work in the same office as her sister as well. So actually that's quite interesting. And then our other friend that you see there, our friend Yim from Bangkok, who we actually walked alongside when we worked at Nightlight. She came to visit us in Chiang Mai. And her life is basically a wonderful living testimony of how God has transformed her life. When she was actually kind of forced to work in the sex industry, she's not letting her past define her at all. And it's been wonderful over the years to see how she's kind of just blossomed and bloomed. And now she's actually going out on outreach, to outreach to others, to encourage others, to share her testimony far and wide. And also recently, she's been given the opportunity to actually travel to America to actually kind of be trained and mentored by women leading ministry as well. So she'll be doing that in August this year.
Okay, TKBC takes leadership very seriously and is invested in raising up and training new leaders and ministers. So this was someone being ordained at the recent TKBC Annual Assembly.
So one of our most favourite times with any of the organisations that we've actually worked with is the baptisms. And we've witnessed baptisms over the years in so many different forms. We've witnessed them in the bucket, in a swimming pool, in streams, in rivers. However, wherever they're done, it's always a time of rejoicing when you realise that God's truth and word is going far and wide, especially where we're now working, into the remote mountain areas. And it's just been wonderful and a blessing to kind of see each of, you know, people come to Christ. So in the beautiful mountains of Sok Kong at this year's annual assembly, so TKBC's annual assembly, we witnessed 25 people being baptised simultaneously. So normally, I guess we've normally been used to seeing people being baptised one by one, but literally 25 people all went down together at the same time. It was one of those moments, blink and you miss it. Yeah. Kind of, you know, shut your eyes for too long, you would have missed it. But as somebody pointed out to us the other day, we actually just realised there would have been 25 ministers in the water with them as well. So it was actually 50 new ministers. It was 25 new ministers, so it was the ones that were ordained at the assembly as well. So 50 people in total in the water. So if you've got a baptism pool that big to do that, this was obviously done in a big stream, but a big river. But it was just wonderful to see them kind of all go down together, and it was a variety of ages as well, from young, middle-aged, right through to old, and that was really wonderful, and they were all from the local remote mountain areas.
So we have a little video to just show you a bit of the Karen ministry and lifestyle and culture.
So for the new leadership team, so at the annual assembly that happened this year, it's like an election that takes place every 4 years. So leadership that goes into place, they serve 4 years, and then obviously they kind of change over. So some are still there in place, but some are new. So if you can pray for the new leaders that have come into position, pray for their transition. that it will be a smooth one for everybody, because obviously it affects all of the different ministry departments at TKBC. Please pray for the 25 people that were baptised. And also, since then, there have been others that have been baptised as well. So pray for new converts, new believers, new ones that have also been baptised, that they will grow in faith. And in, obviously, the remote locations, that there will be people to walk alongside them and disciple them as well, which is really important. So also, you've heard that we teach English at Siloam, but if you could also pray for more English teachers and teachers in general at Siloam. It's actually very, very short-staffed. And while we're here, they're even still more short-staffed at the moment. The actual school term has started already. Summer runs very, very differently there. So they had their summer holidays from March through to May, and they've now gone back to school already. So we are actually kind of missing the beginning of term. So pray that they'll kind of be able to work through that until we can get back to them in August, as well as new teachers as well that will come along. And also pray for a good outcome for the Thai elections. The Thai elections took place on the 14th of May this year. However, the results have been, they're in, but as you know with politics, there's a lot going on and it's not quite clear cut. But please pray that it will be a good outcome for everybody, for the general public overall, and it won't just serve just some, but serve everybody. So it'll be a good outcome for everybody.
So what can you do? Well, the question is, what's in your hand? There is a scripture that says in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, God has given us each a gift. Sometimes we think, oh, I haven't got any skills or gifts, but God has given us, everybody's been given a gift. And it's a matter of actually using what you've got. Some people have got great gifts, and some people see what they've got is small, but they're all given to you by God. And it's just a matter of actually using what you've got. Moses, we think of Moses, and you know, he, when he came to the Red Sea, he was like, what am I going to do, God? What am I going to do? God said, raise up your staff in front of them and, you know, part the waters. And, you know, sometimes it's just whatever you've got in your hand, and God has given you the gifts, the ability to do whatever he's called you to do. And sometimes it is kind of like, feels like it's a last minute thing, but he has already equipped you. And it's a matter of just using what you've got. So if you don't know what you've got as a gift, or you've got many gifts, some people have got lots of gifts, sometimes it's a matter of just stepping out in faith and using, you know, going in an area you think that you should be going in, and then God will direct you, and then he'll bless it, and then you'll eventually find out what your real giftings are, but you've just got to try and step out in faith. So we can all do something. So it's just a matter of asking yourself, what is in your hand?
So what else can you do? We also, you can kind of literally become a 24/7 partner on the BMS World Mission website. So you can just go head over to there and then become our partner that way. I should have some leaflets up here, but I've forgotten to bring them up. So if that's okay, I'll leave them somewhere. But there's a variety of leaflets that you can kind of look at, as well as, I think our prayer card is in there as well, and a number of other things. So we also just want to say thank you to, you know, for supporting us over these years, really. I mean, without you supporting, praying for us, encouraging us over the years, we couldn't do the work that we do in Thailand. But also, you're supporting BMS and also supporting the Karen to strengthen their faith, and also helping them to share the gospel as well, and also literally helping them to fulfill their prophecy that they also have as well.
Yeah, I'll just say thank you again, just reiterate, I just can't do this without you guys. Don't know how much encouragement you give us, so just thank you.
Thank you.